worst U.S. mining accident in 25 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Bill Radke. Safety officials have not yet decided what caused yesterday's fatal coal mine explosion in Raleigh County, West Virginia. At least 25 people have died. The editor of Mine Safety and Health News, Ellen Smith, says beyond the human loss, the disaster could affect the coal industry.
It certainly isn't going to help the coal advocates. People just won't allow it to happen. They're not accepting of mine fatalities in order to turn their lights on.
British Prime Minister Gordon Brown today has launched his campaign for re-election. The vote will take place in 1 month, and just as in the United States, the economy is issue number one. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us live. Morning, Stephen.
Hello, Bill.
How will the economy play into the election over there?
Well, especially one issue in particular, which will be a familiar one in the U.S., deficit cutting versus stimulating the economy. Mm-hmm. The conservative opposition here wants to start reducing Britain's budget deficit now. It's more than 11% of GDP, while the Labour government under Gordon Brown says it's too early to start making deep cuts in public spending. That would threaten the UK's fragile economic recovery.
So with this going on, how closely are investors watching the campaign?
Very closely. And in fact, they're already sending a pretty clear signal. They want the Conservative opposition to win. Here's David Buick of the BGC Brokers.
It's generally felt that the Conservatives will deal with the budget deficit, which is horrendous, more aggressively than Labour will. But in the same breath, they understand business, and therefore they will not allow tax that could damage business.
So much for the markets, Stephen. What about the voters?
Well, they seem much less decided. The opinion polls suggest this could be a very close election indeed, with no one party winning absolute control of Parliament. Now, investors would hate that, the uncertainty of it, so UK markets could be in for a nerve-wracking 4 weeks in the run-up to the election.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Bill.
And now let us do the numbers. Asian stocks were mostly higher today, while European shares are up almost 0.5%, just about what happened on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow was up 46 points, pushing it closer to 11,000. The close was 10,973. Some healthcare reformers have argued that computers could prevent hundreds of accidental deaths a year caused by wrongly prescribed drugs. But a study published in today's Journal of Health Affairs suggests technology is not enough. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Gregory Warner reports.
Here's one way that technology is supposed to help hospitals. Doctors type a prescription onto a computer. The computer cross-checks it with the patient's information and alerts the doctor to red flags.
Let's say it's a medication to which the patient has a known allergy.
Jane Metzger is a researcher at the healthcare consulting firm CSC. She ran tests with 62 hospitals that use software like this. Some hospital computers flagged the errors. Others, though, caught barely 10%.
The variability on the scores is really extraordinary.
David Bates is chief of internal medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital at Harvard. He co-authored the study on computerized prescribing safety, which came out today in the journal Health Affairs. He says it's not that low-scoring hospitals need more tech geeks.
It's really a matter of having nurses and doctors work with the tech geeks so that the right clinical knowledge is put in place.
The White House has offered some $36 billion in incentives for hospitals to modernize by 2014. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering GoToMyPC, providing remote access to a Mac or a PC from anywhere. More at gotomypc.com/market. By MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
When we talk about international wildlife trafficking, we usually picture exotic species being smuggled into the U.S., elephant tusks and tiger pelts. Author Craig Welch tells the story of the large and violent poaching industry in this country. The book is called Shell Games. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, Bill.
Run down a few of the creatures that get poached in America.
Everything from clams in Puget Sound to Venus flytraps in the southeast to black bear gallbladders, the eggs of sturgeon that come up and down the Sacramento River, you name it.
How did you get interested in wildlife poaching and smuggling?
Well, I had written a story for the Seattle Times several years ago where several people had been arrested for poaching large clams out of Puget Sound.
These would be the gooey ducks.
The gooey ducks, exactly. And I understood that the clams were being poached for sale in Asia, and I found that completely fascinating.
How big a market is this?
You know, there are no numbers that anybody can count on, but everybody who knows anything about this world says it's been growing exponentially in the last 30 years or so. Just like everything else with globalization, it made it easier for people to find markets overseas.
Tell us the story that opened your eyes the most.
Well, I'd say it would have to be the hitman story. There was a federal undercover informant who was being wired up to have conversations with other folks who were stealing clams, and somebody had actually told him that he was planning on blowing up a rival in his truck. And they did eventually have to go and arrest the guy who tried to hire their informant as a hitman.
Why did you zero in on gooey ducks and seafood?
Gooey ducks actually end up being a strangely perfect metaphor for how the global marketplace has changed. Before the 1970s, there was really no commercial market for gooey ducks. Plus, the largest market for gooey ducks is China, and China's influence on the global black market for wildlife is amazingly large.
Craig Welch is an environmental reporter for the Seattle Times and the author of Shell Games, Rogues, Smugglers, and the Hunt for Nature's Bounty. Craig, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, Apple said it sold 300,000 iPads on their first day. Actually, it was 300,001.
Hit it.
Bye-bye, iPad.
A Pittsburgh high school student bought the $500 gadget on Saturday, took it out of the box, applied an aluminum baseball bat, and so far has attracted 250,000 YouTube viewers. Anti-Apple performance art? Commentary on commercialism? No, he told the LA Times, it was just something to do. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.